Russia says Israeli missile strikes late last night in Syria put two civilian flights in danger. Syrian state media said the missiles hit an arms depot near the capital, Damascus. There's been no official comment from the Israeli government, but Israel has long been concerned about Iran's activity in Syria. And with news that the U.S. is withdrawing troops from the country, there are new questions about who will step in to fill the power vacuum in the region. Jim Walsh is here now, security analyst. He's with MIT. Security Studies Program. Jim, it's always good to see you.
Merry Christmas. A belated Merry Christmas.
And to you. Thanks for coming in day after the holiday. Your thoughts. How concerned is Israel that by pulling U.S. troops out of Syria, a check on Iran will be lost?
Well, sure. I mean, I can see why they'd prefer it rather than not have it, because we had some mission creep in the U.S. deployment to Syria. Originally, it was only to fight ISIS, you may remember. And then it started to be, well, we're going to fight ISIS and we're going to stay here until the Iranians leave Syria. Of course, we weren't invited into Syria. We just forced our way in. The Iranians were invited into Syria, but we were going to stay until the Iranians left. And then a third objective was added to the Syrian mission, which was to stay and make sure that Assad left. So we had had a lot of mission creep. But listen, long before we deployed 500 that turned into 2,000 troops, Iran and Syria have had an alliance since the Iran-Iraq War of the early 1980s. So they've been allied a long time. It's in both countries' self-interest. I mean, I don't like the alliance. I think Assad's a war criminal. But if you're sitting in Damascus or Tehran, you see an ally, and that alliance is not going anywhere, whether we have 2,000 troops in Syria or not.
Do you see any change to Russia's approach, to Israel's approach, now that the U.S. appears to be leaving?
Well, I think there will be. I think the biggest impact, obviously, will be on the Kurds, bar none. They are the ones who are sort of left holding the bag here, and they have to decide, can they cut a deal with Assad and retain some autonomy, or are they looking at a war with Turkey? So I think the biggest consequences for them are for them in the magnitude and in the near term. Obviously, there are questions about regional stability, but, you know, we seem to have forgotten that, and I don't like this, but, you know, facts are facts. Assad won the war, right? I mean, you know, it's not all done. ISIS isn't all gone. There are parts. But Assad and Russia and Iran won that war. And my guess is they're going to quite happily kill as many ISIS fighters as they can find.
On Friday, after the president said he would pull all U.S. forces out of Syria and also cut half the number of troops from Afghanistan, I spoke to former Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel, and here's what he told me.
I'm one who thinks that we need a good examination of what we're doing there and why we're there, but not the way President Trump has done it. The way he's done it is very dangerous.
So on Afghanistan, here you say you see a former defense secretary saying he's open to the idea of taking troops out. Maybe we should be having that debate. That's just the way that it was done is damaging. When you look back at 2018, where do you think this decision on Afghanistan will stand?
Well, it's clear the president wants to draw down. I personally think he has the right instincts, and I wish, you know, more secretaries of defense would come to that conclusion while they were still in office rather than when they retired, although I'm a big fan of Chuck Hagel's. But that be said, we've been at war in Afghanistan for 17 years. How long are we going to stay? Are we going to stay forever?
Right. And it's expensive. I mean, that's the other point people
are making. What's the definition
of
a win here?
Right.
I really feel like we're trying to avoid a loss, and that's not a good rationale for staying in. But I agree also with the former Secretary of Defense. You know, it's not only what you do, it's how you do it. And if you do it in a really – if you sort of screw it up, the implementation part of it, then it can turn out to be a very costly exercise. In this case, you shouldn't just be blurting things out on Twitter, obviously. You would want to consult with your allies. You'd want to turn internally and have the different parts of the government come up with an exit plan. You know, you'd want to minimize your exposures and help your friends if you can as you go through this difficult process. But and so we'll see how it goes. But you asked about the coming year. I expect those numbers to go down rather than go up.
All right. Jim Mattis will be done January 1st. Patrick Shanahan will be the acting defense secretary at that point. He's had a long career at Boeing, very little military or government experience. Is he up to the job of taking these troops out of Syria, out of Afghanistan? It is a huge undertaking.
You know, number one, I don't know. But the job of Secretary of Defense, it's a lot of things. But one of it is managing a big bureaucracy. And certainly Boeing was a big bureaucracy. And we've had political appointees. You know, Chuck Hagel was a senator. We have had senators who have run cabinets and despite direct experience have been successful. It'll depend on his relationship with the president, and it'll depend on his relationship inside the building at the Pentagon. Mm-hmm. But I don't know of any reason off the top of my head why he shouldn't be able to do the job if he's been sitting in the chair of the number two for 2 years.
Okay, very quickly, what will the top story of 29 be from your 2019 be from your perspective? I know you've got a couple seconds. Just give me a slug.
Oh yeah, okay. North Koreans resume nuclear testing. How about that for an out of the box possibility?
That'll do it. Jim Walsh here, Now Security Analyst. Thank you.